We want to give you a somber note to begin with, and that is that had some medical issues with our own Abby Schumann, and he's currently off getting some treatment. And we will have a moment of silent prayer in hopes that he will be fine, and who knows, maybe even be back here tomorrow. Moment of silence for Abby. Okay, to begin with, we will have our invocation by Larry Mazurka. Larry? You don't have a mic, right?
Oh, Larry's down that way. Thank you.
All right. Invite those of you who wish to join me in a prayer of blessing. Got it. Loving Lord of our lives, we thank you for both this occasion and the opportunity to be together as colleagues, friends, folks who have a very common goal and interest. We thank you for this food and for the blessings that you heap upon us continuously. And we ask that this food might be so much a source of energy and strength to all of us that we might return these blessings to you in lives well lived. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, just a note for you and for later. You can raise your hands in the next few minutes if you have something. Well, let me hold off on that. Peter, do you have the shuttle information? Peter Pardini? Do you have the shuttle information with you? Okay. Is there anybody that doesn't know the shuttle that they are on tomorrow who is taking the shuttle? If anybody raised their hands, let me know so that we can get. All right. So that's all good. One person. Could we possibly have a volunteer go and get the information from Peter and make sure that that person who has their hands raised finds out their shuttle times? We don't want anybody missing their shuttle. Okay. Now, it is time for me to get out of the limelight and fade into the sunset because I want to introduce to you the MC for the evening, a guy who's a real showman in his own right, and is just, this banquet is just one more illustration of that. Our MC is president of Guide Dog Users of California. He's probably better known for his chili and other things that he cooks. His name is Ken Metz. Ken, take it away.
Oh, this is going to be fun. This is going to be fun. No, I'm actually going to be pretty nice tonight.
Oh, I know.
I sort of have to be because I was going to start out with telling you guys a couple of things about some great remarks to prove that people are stupid. You know, probably I'm doing something that I haven't done for a long time, reading Braille. You know, it gets very difficult sometimes. But anyway, we're going to do our best here to make this a great evening for all of you. And first of all, let me say hello to you. And as I said, there are things that people do that are stupid. You know, and some of the remarks you can use that they're probably about as sharp. Yeah, I'm trying to read and do this one-handed. That's hard to do. Here, can you? I'm gonna ask my wife to hold the mic here for me. It's easier. I've got to hold it like this.
Yeah,
there we go.
I know, dear.
Okay. We're going to get back here now. I'm sorry, you guys. I'm just trying to get straightened out. Okay. It says that it's probably as... there we are. A few... okay. I'm having trouble reading Braille tonight. I am. A few clowns short of a circus... Okay, that's one way to tell somebody, a few clowns short of a circus.
Uh-huh.
That's one way to tell them. Not the brightest bulb. Yes, not the brightest bulb on a Christmas tree. And probably a few fries short of a Happy Meal.
That's a new one.
Mm-hmm. That's one I hadn't heard before. I wish I had a blueprint for his brain. Oh, goodness. Anyway, there are some others here that we'll get to a little later because I know that we're running a few minutes late, and so I will get set up here. And with that, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to turn off this little machine here, and I'm going to come around and start doing some introductions. I think we'll be safer. So let me take that, and I'm going to give you... Thank you. Okay. I guess I can stay up here and do the head table, because there's no room for me to fit through here. So, I'm going to start with the head table, if you guys don't mind, with introductions. And the first person over to the left, okay, there, I'm, yeah, it's my left, so it would have to be your right.
Okay.
How about that? Okay, Larry Vizforka, and he's chaplain, Field Village Assistive Living Facility, and then next to Larry is Mrs. Lisforka, and welcome, thank you, we appreciate that. After that, coming back over, Patricia Bogard, and she's the president of the San Diego Braille Club, and we're certainly glad to have her up here. Gene Lozano Jr., first vice president. Let's give him a hand. This is Gene's last banquet as first vice president, and we certainly appreciate the number of years he has given us. Donna Pomerantz, immediate past president, California Council of the Blind. This is her last banquet as immediate past president this time around. We're gonna keep her around for years to come, though. Mitch Pomerantz, immediate past president, American Council of the Blind. And then we have B.B. Lewis. Oh, I'm sorry, Lori. I am having trouble. Some days, you know, well, I won't go into that. We'll leave it with what happens with Braille for, you know. Lori. Welcome. We're really pleased to have you. And actually, I think I have met Lori before, a few years ago, at the, I think she was at the Junior Blind one time. And I believe I met her there. And then there was B.B. and Chuck Lewis. And uh, Somebody that we know who is currently the president of the California Council of the... Did I miss somebody? What, Chad? Right? Yeah. Is there... I don't have Jim on here. Oh, Jim. I'm sorry. Jim is the bass player next to him. I did not know about him. I'm sorry. You know, well, I'll tell some senior jokes later. Then I can talk about myself. Next, Jeff Tom, our current president of the California Council of the Blind, finishing up his term. But the best person out of that couple is Leslie Tom. Then we have the second vice president of the American Council of the Blind, a really nice person. Unfortunately, the only problem with him is that he lives in the same town where my brother lives. No, that's not. But even if it's true, let's give a big welcome to John McCann. And next to John is my wife, who's been helping me this afternoon. After we heard some of the bad news, she's been sitting in here getting everything prepared for me. Pam Metz. And you know, it gives me a great, great pleasure to introduce our incoming president of the California Council of the Blind, President-elect Judy Wilkinson. Next to Judy, we have some guy here. I think he's another one of those attorney people. Guy named Mr. Steve Wilkinson Mendelson. And next to Steve, Lee Morton. Lee, are you there? I haven't talked to Lee in a while. She's the acting president of the San Diego chapter, California Council of the Blind. And I will say Lee and I go back a day or two. And after we have Doug Martin. Doug, is he there? Oh, okay. We'll leave Doug out of it because he's home recovering from back surgery. And sitting then next to Lee, Charlene Ornelas. And she is one of our newest, because she is new, as a board member of the California Council of the Blind. Okay. So, with that in mind, we've taken care of that. I am trying to read this stuff. We're going to, in a few minutes, we're going to have dinner. But, you know, I've got to tell you, sometimes these attorneys really do get to us, and we do have a couple in our midst tonight. There's a guy named Jeff, a guy named Steve. Do you guys know what it's like to try and interpret? If you think Jeff was difficult to interpret sometimes, wait until Steve gets in his position as the first man of the California Council of the Blind. Then you guys are really going to have some issues to deal with. Because when he speaks, well, you won't understand. You won't understand it, but I guarantee you it'll be a lot of fun. We'll put it that way. Yes. Anyway, with that, again, just because we are running a little late, I want to be able to catch up. And so, therefore, enjoy your dinner. I will go practice my Braille here. And you'll have to suffer with me a little later. So, with that, dinner time, folks. We'll be back to you in a few minutes.
Can you have something to say before Mary Lou and I take over?
Well, oh, we are on. All right. Gee, I'm glad you didn't hear what
him,
I was saying.
I?
Yeah, I'm glad you didn't hear what I said when the mic went. No, I didn't say anything. Okay, you know, I was having some conversation here during dinner. I finally figured out a great fundraising opportunity for CCB. All we have to do is get about 300 new members who are all attorneys. And we could start. Could you imagine a letterhead with 300 names on it? And next to each one, I still remember enough Braille, we would have the letters BL. You got it, Jim. So with that, let me try and bend down here again and pick up my list. There it is. I can still bend sometimes. I'm going to be real honest with you guys this whole thing that you heard earlier just really shook me up, because I will tell you, Abby and I have been very good friends for many years, and of course, you know, some of us, as we all get older, and please keep our thoughts and prayers and for Abby, as that happens, we see more of that. And with some of us who've been around for many, many years, you know, we do realize that these things happen. And so that's all I'm going to say about it. But anyway. He did? Oh, and anyway, so we're going to go on with our program. And with that, we're going to start with CC. We okay? Shh. Mitch taught me to just go, shh. And actually, it works pretty much. Sometime. We're going to start with CCB donations. And with that, I'm going to ask Mary Lou and Jeff to be involved in this. And of course, we also, once again, as Jeff has mentioned a couple of times, we do miss Ed up here. And Mary Lou has sure pitched in and is just doing a spectacular job. And oh, do we appreciate her very much. So Jeff,
Mary Lou? If you have a donation, we're going to have Mary Lou read what she has from Chapters. And if you have another one when she's done, raise your hands. We really appreciate every donation that Chapters are able to give us, no matter of what size. We know how hard you work for the money you raise and to share it with us for the needs of the state organization. For our organization is really, really important, and we want to thank you for that. So, Mary Lou, what have you got?
Okay, Fresno Chapter, $100 general fund, and $100 scholarship. And the second one is from Silicon Valley Chapter, $200 scholarship.
All right. Thank you, Fresno and Silicon Valley. Is there anybody else out there whose chapters are making a donation? There, we got a hand. We'll get a mic to you.
Sure. Good evening. This is Steve Fort, president of Bayview Chapter. Bayview Chapter is donating $300 to the general fund and $200 to the scholarship fund.
Hey, thank you, Bayview.
300 what?
All right. I'll be sending it in. And I know we got Pam. Sure,
Cheesecake with berries.
And the chapter?
Bayview Chapter, CCB.
My name is Gene Burkhardt. I'm the treasurer of the San Gabriel Valley chapter. We have a $200 check for scholarship fund and $200 check for the general fund.
All right. Thank you, San Gabriel Valley.
San Gabriel Valley. It's written right on.
Okay, we got someone else with a hand up, I think.
Yeah, hi, Jeff. This is John Glass from the Silicon Valley chapter. My wife, Susan, and I would personally like to make a $500 donation to the general fund and a $500 donation to the scholarship fund.
Wow. That is really incredible. That's an amazing donation. In fact, it's $500 more than I earned as president.
That's beautiful. All right. Oh, my goodness.
Anyone else?
Good evening, everyone. Everybody. Oh, yeah. Greater LA has not been able to do any donating to CCB in a long time. And since we worked hard last year on our fundraising, we are donating $200 to the scholarship and $100 to the general fund.
Thank you, Greater LA. That is great. What an incredible group we had tonight. So thanks again. And I'm going to turn it back over to Ken. Whoa.
Do we have another donation?
Okay, Peter has a related announcement. And when the treasurer talks, the president listens. Even the has-been president listens.
Thank you. I'd really like to thank Paul Patchy for making a $200 life membership. He bought his life membership for $200.
All right. There you go.
So I'd encourage everyone to make a life, help start a life membership for themselves or their favorite person. It can be split up into, I think, five payments.
Yep, five payments. You can do it over a period $40 payments. Yes, indeed. Okay, well, thank you very much, everyone, for your generosity for this organization and your hard work. And I will turn it now back over to our MC.
All righty. Thank you, sir. And thanks to all of you for your generous donations, both personal and from the chapters. That's wonderful. That's what we need, some great unity to make this organization a lot stronger than it's ever been. So, with that, the people that help really direct this organization as to what we need to do and articles that you read that you find interesting and all kinds of things, we're going to do some things here called awards. And the first awards that we're going to have are those related to membership. So with that, I'd like to call Artis Bazin, membership chair.
Okay. I will first do one, since Peter kind of stole the thunder with a life membership. I have a special life membership for a person who is not aware of it. It's a surprise from her chapter. So this is in sincere appreciation, given this ninth day of April, 2016, in Alpine, California. And this certificate of CCB Life membership is awarded to Susan Glass. Your chapter was nice enough to purchase this for you, so. Ben, And I'll give you the certificate when I get to the table. She's at my table, so. Then I also have the membership awards. We give membership award to the chapter with the highest percentage of growth each year and the highest number of members per year. And this year, we had two chapters that had five new members, but the one, it was a 24% membership growth, and that was the Greater LA chapter. And then a GDUC had the highest number. They actually had the same number for each one, but the one has a lot more members, so obviously it wasn't as high a percentage. So they each gained five new members this year. But I want to give honorable mention to the Inland Empire chapter because they actually had the second highest percentage, but it was just two members because their chapter is very small. So I just wanted to commend them for a 20% growth by getting two new members. They went from 8 to 10. And unfortunately, we had a lot of chapters go down in membership, so it was great to be able to give the award to those chapters for their growth. And I encourage you all to work hard. Probably it was a little bit different this year since we went from October awards to April awards, so it, you know, doesn't have quite as much growth, you know, since it's only 7 months in between. But I encourage you all, and I encourage you to do a chapter project too. We do have a chapter award that we give if you have a chapter project, and I thought there was one chapter that was going to submit for it, and they never did. But the Fresno chapter did a Dining in the Dark experience, which I had hoped that they would apply for that award, but they never sent it in. And I thought it was such a great idea. They put it on the membership email list and talked about it, and it was a great event that they had for their chapter. So I encourage your chapter to do an activity and then submit a letter to CCB to be able to get that chapter award. So, thank you all.
That is wonderful. What a surprise to us at Greater LA. It's been a long time, and I'm just going to say, as president of that chapter, it is so wonderful to see the chapter begin to grow, and I'll take privilege here to say that. But it really is, and we already have one new member starting since we turned in the roster. So we're really working on getting that thing going. So thank you, artists. All right. With that, we're going to go to our next award, and that is publications. And, you know, it takes a lot for people to write some great articles, and we have so much writing talent in this organization. And to tell you all about it and about the awards that apply to it and that somebody might get, I'll introduce our newly elected president, Judy Wilkinson.
Good evening. I bring you greetings from Linda Perrell, the chair of the Publications Committee, who could not be with us this evening. So that gives me the wonderful privilege. This is the best part of any job here at CCB, is giving out awards. We're giving two. You know, we usually give an award for the best articles written in the previous year, but this year, we are giving very special commendation awards. Who knows which anniversary year this is of the Blind Californian? 60. So here's the first award. So the California Council of the Blind, in this 60th year of publication of the Blind Californian, special recognition Publications Committee Award. Two, and I'm going to skip the name for the moment, for her numerous submissions to the Blind Californian, including her poems and interviews, for articles such as Friends in Low-Tech Places, Fall 2010, and Maintain That Connection, Don't Forget Your Phone, Fall 2013. Anybody have a clue? Don't say the name yet. For her tireless advocacy for the Seniors with Vision Loss Committee, including her creative efforts for the publications Failing Sight and the Family Plight, and How to Have a Happy Life as a Senior Losing or Without Vision, for Bonnie Rennie. Is Bonnie in the room? Oh. Presented this ninth day of April 2016 in Alpine, California. Well, one good piece of news is I don't have to dig out and figure out which plaque it is then, because it's going to be sent to Bonnie in the mail, and she will, it's such a pleasure to give Bonnie that award. You can, I'm not sure, we either mail it or, can we trust her to take it to her? Is that Gail? I think we could.
I mean, she is a board member. Now.
I think we could let you do that,
we
Gail.
We know where you live, Gail.
Let's put it this way, Gail, you heft the plaque and then see if you want to actually put it in your suitcase. Okay, we have a second award of the same kind. The California Council of the Blind, in this 60th year of publication of the Blind Californian, Special Recognition Publications Committee Award. Two, leave a blank. Now here's the most prolific contributor to the Blind Californian in the past decade. Four, his resolution summaries, his legislative reports, his 8 years of thoughtful president's messages, of course, our own Jeff Tom. Jeff, I'll kill myself getting this to you, so I'm just going to send you the mic. And I now know that it's 10 years, so the plaque will forever memorialize one of my really big first mistakes. Can we say?
He has a mic.
Well, prolific is true. I'm not sure how good it is. Thank you very much. It's always worth writing advocacy-related items for the Blind Californian, because that's what you and I are all about. So thank you for the award. I appreciate it.
I'm returning the mic to our Master of Ceremonies.
Thank you, thank you. Congratulations to the winners. And, you know, it's really wonderful to know how people do these things time and time again. And it's not easy to write these articles. I can write, but not articles like this. You guys do such a great job. I'm proud of you. Thank you. Our next person to come up to do some awards is going to be from our awards committee. And it gives me great privilege to call. You okay? Oh, I was interrupted. But it was okay. The president-elect can do anything she wants here. Okay, it gives me a great pleasure to call up our immediate past president for the last time for this go-around. And it gives me privilege to call Donna Pomerantz.
Good evening, everyone. I am here on behalf of our committee chair, Joe Smith, who is from Northern California. He was not able to be here tonight, and the committee asked me to thank you, to be here. On his behalf, I want to thank all the members of the awards committee. Roger Peterson, we all know him. And Michael Williams. And I'm thinking I'm going to forget somebody. Well, I knew I was going to do that, and that's what I get. Thank you to President Tom for appointing me to that committee as well. I've enjoyed serving this first time. I will give the microphone over to someone else to do this presentation. Our committee unanimously agreed that this person would be perfect to do the presentation, and he also happens to me to be my best friend and your governmental affairs chair for the very last time. I will give the microphone over to Mitch Pomerantz to do this presentation.
Talk about passing the buck. Well, things are so perfect that I don't have the language for this plaque, but we can ad lib. From time to time, and you'll understand why she did this, the California Council of the Blind presents awards to members of the state legislature, I think a couple of times even to Congress critters. Well, we've had a dear friend and ally who twice introduced bills on our behalf, beginning in 2013 when he was a member of the Assembly, and then in 2014 when he was a member of the Senate. Last year, the bill was SB 199. For those of you who, like I typically, as soon as the session is over, we forget bill numbers. But that was the bill that would have included in the services provided under in-home support supportive services reader services and document completion services. We know a significant number of blind and low vision persons are on SSI. And IHSS provides a lot of services for persons who are on SSI, but don't do much to help us. So, this gentleman introduced two consecutive years legislation to include those services. Last year, the bill was vetoed by our governor,
depending on the day of the week, either Dr. Jekyll or Mr. Hyde, otherwise known as Jerry Brown. However, we felt that it was important to recognize this legislator. Unfortunately, we were unable to procure him or a member of his staff, but we will get this plaque to him. It basically commemorates his efforts on behalf of the California Council of the Blind to introduce this legislation. He is a Democrat from the 35th District. His name is Isidore Hall. Give him a round of applause. I need to double check, and Jeff would probably know my list of assembly members and senators gives districts but not specific locations, and so we'll need to figure out who will be in a good position to get this plaque to him and his staff. So again, we hope, and of course this year he can't introduce. You can't bring back the same bill 2 years in a row in similar fashion. So they took a year's hiatus, and hopefully this bill will be reintroduced or introduced anew in 2016. Or 2017. This is 16, isn't it? Yes, it is. What can I tell you? So with that, Mr. Metz, back to you.
You. Thanks. Okay, I just had to wait. Let me get my list back. I'm sorry. I was looking at stuff here and got waylaid, as they say. So, you know, hey. All right. So with that, thank you so much, Donna and Mitch. Appreciate that. It's always great to again honor people that help. And, oh, I think you're, okay, do you want, Peter, would you come up, please? Yes. He's not too far away.
He's right there.
I know. Yeah. Hold on a minute, let me see. Hold on, because I didn't know if she wanted, if it's something just that Junie needs Peter for, or if she wants me to go ahead. So I'm waiting. Okay. Do you need something? Did you need the mic, Peter?
I need a mic.
Hold on, I'm going to introduce our treasurer here for a moment, because this isn't on my schedule, so... So for that, I will definitely give our treasurer the mic, Peter Pardini.
Thank you very much, Ken. Jeff, on behalf of the current and past members of the board of directors, I'd virtually like to present you with a gift card for some Giants tickets. Thank you for your years of service to the California Council of the Blind.
Wow, I'm speechless. Thanks, everybody. It's been more than worth it. Thank you. Well, who knows? Not if I go see San Diego.
Yeah. Jeff, you realize those tickets say Chavez Ravine, don't you? Oh, he's going to be saying who's on first for a while. With that, gee, How do you follow that? Well, you know what? We follow it with a fabulous group here and a singer. And you know, when I saw who was going to be here, I actually did listen to this. I don't remember if it was video because I couldn't tell you the difference. It was only described with a fabulous voice to listen to and some wonderful music on YouTube. And so I would love to introduce as our keynote for tonight, let's see if we can get Lori Beebe and Lewis. And Lori Lewis, let me get it straight. Lori Lewis and even, I think it was Rich. Am I correct? Yeah, let me go to the right. Okay, Lori and Chuck, am I correct? Is that it?
Yes.
And Jim, that's the other person. One day I'll remember. Okay, Lori, Chuck, Jim, take it away.
If I tumble down, would you pull me up? If I surrender, if I fail, would you say you knew me well? For as long as I can say, I have known rejection and pain. I have seen the fire in the storm, and still it keeps me warm. So many questions in this mystery. Sometimes I lose my way, looking for answers down roads that go nowhere. Truth is what I need. Mercy on me, yeah. In my heart, although we're worlds apart, in this expanding universe, I need to hear your voice. Do you hear me when I cry? When the sunbird sings at night, where the river meets the raging sea, when you find questions in this mystery. Sometimes I lose my way, looking for answers that roads have gone nowhere. Truth is what I need. Oh, mercy on me, yeah. Oh, mercy on me. I've been struck down, turned around, down on my knees. Your mercy on me.
Thank you so much. What an honor it is to be in the presence of the most amazing people. I've spoken to a lot of you, and I know some of the people here at the head table. Last time I was at a head table is when I got married. I don't know. I was kind of waiting for the bride or the... I got to sit next to Jeff. And it was really lovely talking to him. Okay, I'm going to straighten this out now about the name. It's because, oh my goodness. Okay, my name is Lori B.B. Lewis. There you go. There's that B.B. thing. He was like having the hardest time trying to figure out, where does this fit in? I don't know. And my husband is Chuck Lewis over here to my right on the guitar. And our good friend Jim Schmitz on bass. and our drummer, we don't let him out of the box that he sits in. So, yeah. Anyway, we're going to be your troubadours tonight. We'll do a few songs, and I'll tell you a couple of stories of my life and where I come from and what I'm about. So, but first we're going to do another song, Just Because We Can. I am a poor wayfaring stranger, while journeying through this world of woe. Yet there's no sickness, toil or danger in that bright land to which I go. I'm going there to see my father. I'm going there no more to roam. I'm only going over Jordan. No dark clouds will gather on me. Oh, thank you guys so much. Chuck and I have been working on an album, and that is going to be on the album. We've been working on this album now for a very long time, actually so long that I'm almost beginning to think we should call it the bucket list album, because it's taking so darn long. Okay, so, you know, I was asked to just share some things about my life and about my my career, my music career, which has actually been very interesting. I started out as a very young girl in music. The first song I ever played and performed was in sixth grade, and it was, I'm dating myself now, The Green Beret. And my father sat out at the PTA meeting and cried. He was so proud of me. And so after that, I learned how to play the guitar. And after that, I went to camp in the summertime, getting ready to go to seventh grade. And I started playing the violin. And that was so fun. But when I finally got to violin camp, after only playing 2 weeks, I got there and all the violins were taken, all the violins. So there was this one great big giant violin called the bass. And the conductor said, "You want to play this one?" And I said, "No, I don't. It's big." He goes, "No, we don't have anybody else to play it. And you're the tallest girl." So I got stuck playing the bass. Little did I know how much I would really love that instrument. And I went on to play the bass in the orchestra for a few years. Well, in the meantime, my mother, who is our momager, as they call them today, we had a little band called Pitch Blend. And we actually had a little one-hit wonder in the Michigan regional area. And if you Google Pitch Blend now, you actually can find us on Wikipedia, and you might even be able to buy our one and only record for $150 on eBay. Talk about strange. But when I was with that group, we opened up for some great artists, and we toured with Bob Seger, Ted Nugent and the Amboy Dukes, Alice Cooper, the MC5, Kick Out the Jams, and you know the rest of it. And I actually sat down with Bob Seger and used to sit and listen to him play piano, and we would sing harmony together on old Beatle tunes. After that, I joined a Dixieland jazz band. I like to tell people that that's when I joined the circus and went on the road, because it was little old 18-year-old me and like a bunch of guys that were over 30. They were old. Old, old, old. Though our drummer was 56, he was old. And I went out with the Celebration Roadshow for a few years and played Dixieland jazz. Moved to Chicago. That is where I met a group called the Buckinghams. And, you know, we did Kind of a Drag, When Your Baby Don't Love You. Yeah. Yeah. And so we actually recorded an album. And then in 1985, we went on the 1985 Happy Together Tour with the Grassroots and the Turtles, Gary Lewis and the Playboys, and of course the Buckinghams. And on that tour, there was this really cute guy, and his name was Chuck Lewis. And we became really good friends. The tour left, we started out in April, and we went all the way through till November. It was about a 10-month tour, give or take a week or so. Three different legs on the tour with 1 week break between the legs. So we did well over 265 dates through that year, and it was quite interesting. And, of course, you remember this song. Imagine me and you, I do, come on. I think about you day and night. It's only right to think about the girl you love and hold her tight. So happy together.
If I should call you up, invest a dime. You say you do belong to me and ease my mind. Imagine how the world would be. So very fine, so happy together. I can't see me loving nobody but you. That was it. Okay, just going down memory lane. Well, we would end that show. That was our grand finale. Everybody would come out. We'd all hold hands, and Chuck would come out, and I'd hold his hand. Didn't want anybody to know we were dating. We were trying to keep it under wraps. You have to understand that on this tour, there were 36 guys and me. Now, I see some of you girls going, woo! But let me tell you, it wasn't woo, all right? All right, I'm telling you what a woo. Because, you know, in the music business, it's a man's world. Yeah, it is. It truly is. And so being out there with all, okay, yeah, we're... being out there with all the guys. But I was really grateful to be able to... do that, and that tour was fantastic. Then at the end of 1985, Chuck said to me, "You're just the cutest thing in the world. Will you marry me?" And I said, "Yes." He's clapping. For those of you, he's clapping his hands. He's my biggest supporter in more ways than you can imagine.
I made so many guys jealous.
Oh, he did. All the guys. We won't go there. I could tell a funny story on the tour. Okay, I'll tell you one story.
Make it quick.
Okay, I'll make it really quick. So, all right, this is kind of, it's a little R-rated. Not R. Okay, what's PG-13. There you go.
13.
All right, so Chuck and I are trying to...
PG-13 is tomorrow's R, though.
Yeah, that's true. So Chuck and I are trying to keep our little thing secret. We don't want anybody to know that we're dating. Okay, so... I would either sneak to his room or he would sneak to mine. So I snuck to his room one night. Now, Chuck was on the crew. He was the drum tech. So Chuck is leaving at 6 in the morning. And me, I don't leave till later. So I'm in Chuck's room. And, 6 o'clock comes early and he leaves. I wake up. Chuck's gone. He's gone. His suitcase is gone. I'm so sad. Well, I wake up and realize that he accidentally packed all my clothes. All of them. Nothing left. No. No, 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 nothing. So here I am. And my room is way, 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 way on the other side of the hotel. And to top it all off, we're on the second floor, and in the middle of the second floor is this little lobby where they serve
the brunch.
And I know that I have to leave at 10 o'clock, and I know where everybody is. Everyone is in this middle area having brunch, and there's only one way out, and that's past them. I don't know what to do. So now I'm thinking, well, okay, it's time to make a phone call. I call up the hotel concierge, thank you. And do you guys have any robes? Oh, I'm sorry, we don't have robes. Okay. I'm thinking, what do I do? toga party, no. I'm thinking, what do I do? So I'm thinking, I don't even have my key. Oh, my gosh, what do I do? So I call them again, and I say, okay, I've left my key. This is the situation, told the truth, and could you please meet me at my room? I'm headed there now.
And so I just took a towel, wrapped around, put a towel on my head as though I had just gotten out of the pool, walked by everybody. Everybody just like, hey, Lori, looking at me kind of weird. And I said, have you been down to the pool? It's just wonderful. And I made it to my room safely. And that is my story, and I'm sticking to it. Okay, I've never told that story public. So, you guys have some blackmail. All right. After the that tour ended, I moved to San Diego in January of 1986. And this is when a lot of things happened. Number one, I had this amazing opportunity to be in a few bands here in California. One was the Monroes. They had a group, a big hit, What Do All the People Know? So I sang with them. And then I got a phone call from John Phillips of the Mamas and the Papas. Now, on the Happy Together tour, what had happened was they had played with us a couple times as a guest band. So John kind of knew who I was. Chuck, the year before, was on the Happy Together tour, and he knew Spanky McFarlane, who was singing with the Mamas and Papas in place of Mama Cass. And he had called her and said, is there any work? Well, Lori's looking for some work, and San Diego doesn't have a lot going on. And so she said, well, you know, you just might be surprised. Well, evidently, Mackenzie Phillips, here she is, 7 months pregnant, and she's going into rehab, so they needed someone to fill in. So there I was, and I jumped on the chance to do it, and I joined the Mamas and Papas, and that was an amazing time. I was with them for a full year. Mackenzie came back, and then I would replace her on and off for the next couple years, and then at the end of 1990, I joined them permanently for 3 more years before they split up, and anyway, I'm going to do a beautiful song that I love by the Mamas and Papas. You know what it is. Okay. Let's see if you know.
The sky is gray. I've been for a walk on a winter's day. I'd be so safe and warm if I was in LA. California dreaming on such a winter's day. I stopped into a church, I passed along the way. Well, I got down on my knees and I pretend to pray. Ooh, the preacher likes the cold, knows I'm gonna stay. California dream on such a winter's day, on such a winter's day. California dreaming on such a winter's day, California.
such a winner's day.
Oh, you guys, thank you so much. Thank you. You guys are so nice. Well, little did people really know, besides my secret love for Chuck, I also held another big secret. And that was, I don't know, how do I just say this? I'll just say it. I had a love affair with drugs. And it went from 1980 to 1990. There's a few things that happened to me through some dramatic and traumatic circumstances that just seemed to keep me calm and help me to forget all the cares and woes of the world. And it was just like this was a spell that was cast over me, and I could not be free of it. There were a lot of friends that knew about my drug addiction, and they just expected it. They accepted it because, after all, it was music. I was a musician. Everybody expected it. It was the 80s, and people did it. And, you know, everyone was doing it, so I thought. It brought me to a place, though, where I did have a spiritual awakening. And, yeah. Amen. But there is something that definitely really was life-changing for me while I was doing that, and I had a drug-induced heart attack because of it. And, you know, it was one of those things where I wanted so much to get out of the situation, and I didn't know how. And it was just a thing where I ended up calling on God. Now, I'm not here to preach and tell you what you should do or what you should believe in, but this is something that happened to me that was life-changing. And anyway, this is sort of how I felt at the time, and I'm going to just do this song that I really like. It's an old blues tune, and it's called I Put a Spell on You. I put a spell on you, 'cause you're mine. Oh, yeah. Oh, you better stop the things you do. Oh, I tell ya, you know I can't stand it. You're running around, you know better, baby. I can't stand it because you put me down. Ooh, I put a spell on you. Oh, because you're mine. Can't stand it, I can't stand it. I knew better, baby. Oh, I can't stand it, 'cause you put me down, yeah, baby. Oh, I put a spell on you. You know I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, anyhow. I don't care if you don't want me, I'm yours right now. Oh, I'll put a spell on you, baby, because you're mine. Oh, oh, because you're mine, yeah. Because you're mine. Ooh. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. You guys are so great. It's nice to have, you know, sometimes I play in prisons and I always can say, oh, it's great to have a captive audience. But I guess that's not the case here, is it? I just want to share just a couple more little things with you. I don't know what the heck is going on here. Oh, here we go. I don't know, you know, after the whole drug thing and when I had this big spiritual awakening, things started happening. I don't know, 1993, I left the mamas and papas. I started doing this, I did an album, which I wish I would have brought, but I ran out, sorry. I would have just given everybody one, but what had happened was I was just fatigued all the time. I was tired. I didn't know what was wrong with me. I went to the doctors, doctor after doctor after doctor. I was in pain. I could barely walk. At one point, I was in a wheelchair. I couldn't do anything, and nobody could find out what was wrong with me, and they said, you have fibromyalgia. No, you don't have fibromyalgia. On and on this went. And it just got to the point where I just felt like, you know, I've just made this big change in my life. I've made this big turnaround. And now suddenly my life is just spinning. I found out 16 years later what the problem was. I had Lyme disease. But back in the early 90s, they kind of didn't know what it was. And it kind of came down to like, well, you know, you live in California. It doesn't really matter because, you know, they don't have it here, you know. Well, do you know what troubled waters are? You know, like that song that Simon and Garfunkel, you know, they write a bridge over troubled water. Well, you know, they're waters that seem impossible to cross. But I want you to notice I'm using that word seem because the water, it's stirred up. And to cross that river could mean taking a life-changing path leading towards possible destruction. Or perhaps maybe leading a way to overcoming life's adversities. And every day we take these chances, right? True? Every day we face troubled waters, whether it's finances, relationships, or just simply getting up in the morning. And for me, sometimes it was. Literally, getting up in the morning was hard. But one thing about troubled waters, you know, they're everywhere. And sometimes all we need to do is just wade in that water. Just, you know, maybe you start by putting your toe in the water first just to test the temperature. Next thing you know, you got your ankles and then you're up to your knees and, you know, this isn't so bad. And, you know, there's never really a simple way to cross that river of troubled waters. And wading actually means that your feet are still touching the bottom. Do you know what I mean? You're wading. And sometimes we don't have any choice but to immerse ourselves completely and fully into this water. And then, you know, we have to have that faith. And you know, we have to believe that we can do it, allowing the waters to carry us to that victory. And I took that step of faith when I walked away from the mamas and papas. I knew my time with them was done. My life had taken a totally different path, and the drugs and all that crazy lifestyle was behind me, and I was going to continue to be true to myself. And, you know, even though I thought that being this rock star, traveling with the mamas and papas and living that high life, traveling first class and staying in the nicest hotels and making the good money, I thought that that was the promised land, you know? But I realized that there was something that was much greater waiting for me. So I'm going to do this song for you. And I love it because it's an old gospel hymn. And it's a lot of fun. And you guys can sing along if you want. Gonna trouble the water now. Who's that young girl dressed in red? Wait in the water. Must be the children that Moses led. Well, God's gonna trouble the water. The water wait. What children wait? Children. Trouble the water. Well, now, who's that young girl dressed in white? Wait in the water. Must be the children of the Israelite. Oh, God's gonna drop all the water. The water, wait in the water. Wait in the water, children. Gonna trouble need a water, water, water now. Now, if you don't believe I've been redeemed, wait in the water. Well, now just follow Jesus down the Jordan stream. Now, God's gonna trouble the water, the water away. Children away. Children. Trouble the water. Drama, 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 drama. Drama, 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 drama. Drama, 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 drama. God's gonna trouble the water. When I'll trouble the water. Oh, you guys are so nice. I'm going to do one more song for you guys. And Before I do, I just want to just finish my little story. You know, I had a chance, and I'll just give you the long list of all the different people that I've had the opportunity to sing with or perform with. I sang with the Spinners. I sang with Martha Reeves. I sang with Harry James. Les Elgart, he's a big band leader. You know, I've shared the stage with a lot of really great artists in my life, and I wouldn't trade doing this for anything. And, you know, whether it's an audience of just a few people or thousands of people or this wonderful group right here that, you know, you guys are wonderful. And, you know, after I found out that I had Lyme disease and I had treatment and whatnot, and I was sent to a rheumatologist where I found out that I had I can't even talk today. What's wrong with me? I didn't drink or nothing. I really don't drink. I had psoriatic arthritis and also ankylosing spondylitis. So I have actually four different kinds of very extreme aggressive forms of arthritis that have pretty much wiped out my hands and my knees and my feet. And I've had two knee replacements. Yay, I know. Thank God for knee replacements. Now, if they can only figure out how to replace fingers, that would be really nice. Finger joints someday. But you know, through all of this, I have learned from a lot of people, actually, who are different abled. And I have learned to stay positive, you know, because for a while I really, really became feeling like I was a victim. I had a victim mentality over this. And I just felt like the world had dealt me this bad card and God had dealt me this bad card. And, you know, just I was just waiting for God to just strike me down for one more bad thing in my life, you know. And then people were always asking me, how are you feeling? How are you doing? Oh, I've been praying for your health. And I really always appreciated that. But I got to the point where, you know what, it was time to just stop being that person that was always just crying out and to my friends and telling everybody, you know, how my life was so crappy. And I found this song that I really love. And here's what I'm going to end with, because it's called Don't You Ever Let Nobody Drag Your Spirit Down. And I love that idea, you know, because we can just go through things in our lives, you know, and everybody in this world, you know, we are not alone. You know, everyone goes through trials and tribulations. It doesn't really matter. And life is temporary. It's so temporary. And, you know, I learned that life is a gift from God, and what you do with your life is your gift to God. So I give this gift to you, and I share my gift. And Jim Schmitz over here on the bass, he plays in our church worship team, and he gives his gift. And my husband Chuck also is our worship leader, and you know, I know maybe some of you feel like you've been to church today. And you know what? If you don't believe any of that, then that's cool, man. You know, that's the thing. It's just like, you know, that's why I love America, because we can believe what we want and we can agree to disagree. And, you know, I don't judge you and I hope you don't judge me. So thank you so much for this opportunity. And I want to thank a certain person here. I want to thank Charlene Ornelius for bringing me here. I've known Charlene forever. I've totally crossed boundaries and played with her dog when he was working. two of them. Yeah, she'd get mad at me. Don't play with my dogs. They're working. I go, okay, I won't. I'd be passing them treats, and they'd be wagging their little tails. I'm a bad person. I'm sorry. I just, like, everybody's bringing their dogs in today. I was just like, just drop them off at my feet, and I'll take them all. I love dogs so much. Anyway, you guys, you have a good night, and I just appreciate you all so much. So we're going to close out with this one, and you guys can clap along or whatever. You can dance, yes. You might slide, tumble and fall by the roadside. Don't you ever let nobody drag your spirit down. Remember you're walking up to heaven. Don't let nobody turn you around. Well, now walk with the rich, walk with the poor. Learn from everybody what your life is for. But don't you never let nobody drag your spirit down. Remember you're walking up to heaven. Don't let nobody drag you around. Well, now some say yes, some say no. Some wait and see which way the wind blows. Won't you ever, never, 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 never let nobody drag your spirit down. We're walking up to heaven. Don't let nobody turn you around. Come on, Chuck, take it away. People are dancing. Come on now. You can dance. You can just stand right up at your table and dance. The dogs are dancing. Woo! You know, I might say some things that sound strange to you. I might preach the gospel, I believe it's true. I won't let nobody drag my spirit down. Yes, I'm walking up to heaven. Won't let nobody turn me around. Well, you might slip, you might slide, tumble and fall by the roadside. But don't you never, 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 never let nobody drag your spirit down. You're walking to heaven. Don't let nobody turn you around. Well, never, never, never let them drag your spirit down. Never, 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 never let them drag your spirit down. Don't you never, never let nobody drag your spirit down. Remember you're walking up to heaven. Don't let nobody turn you around. Remember you're walking up to heaven. Don't let nobody turn you around. Remember you're walking up to heaven. Don't, 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 don't. Don't you let nobody drag your spirit down.
think I need to read Braille to say, let's put our hands together, Lori, Chuck, and Jim.
Thank you guys so much. Thank you all. Thank you so much. And if you would like to go to my website, it's lorismusic.com. And Lori is spelled L-A-U-R-I-E. And then an S, but no apostrophe, just lorismusic.com. And you can go there and, I don't know, Google me if that's still legal. Can you still Google people? Okay. Thank you all very much. And you have a great night.
Wow, what a way to have our banquet with a fantastic keynote. I don't recall anything with this much celebration. All right, all right. Before I give this back to our president for a wrap-up, well, there are two things. One, I am going to tell you one story, only one. And to follow after that is not easy, but it's only one. So you have to put up with me only for a minute or so. But it has to do with the church, so we're going to do that. And it's nice, it's clean. For me, it's clean anyway. One Sunday morning, it seems that there was a priest at the church, and he saw little Alex standing in the foyer, and he was sort of staring up at this large plaque. It was a plaque that was covered with names with small American flags, and Alex didn't really understand what it was all about. So the priest saw the little 7-year-old Alex looking at this thing, and he said, "Alex, well, you know, what are you so amazed about?" And the little boy said, "Well, I don't really understand that." He said, "What is this thing for?" He said, "Well, Alex, this plaque with all the names and all the little American flags is for all the men and all the women who died in service." And Alex wasn't sure what to say, and he looked perplexed, and sheepishly he looked at the father and he said, "Father, was it the 9:45 or 11:15? All right, I got one. Give me that. Now, you have to admit, a little kid would think that way. we can't have raffles, so I'm not calling for any raffles. Do we have any kinds of door prizes tonight?
Yes, we do.
Okay, Mr. President, thank you for letting me be MC, and I'm going to turn it over to you for handling the door prizes, and thank you so much.
Okay, don't go away, because we do have door prizes. Oh, we don't have them? Oh, you? Okay. Okay, we're going to do two now, and we're going to do the rest in the morning. So, and we'll do them bright and early in the morning, because some of people have to leave early. So, what do we got? What is this?
It's a metal, like little tin with a handle, and it's full of candy and folded up money. We have no idea what treasure chest.
Yosemite Gateway Chapter. They got a lot of treasure in the valley.
Deborah Berry.
Debbie Berry. The treasure is yours, Debbie. Yeah. Oh, we have jewelry.
Okay, there's couple of sets. One of them is a necklace and pair of earrings, and they're kind of in turquoise, pearl, mother pearl. And another one is a bracelet that's kind of pink and has a silver. They're all separate, and they're in a velvet bag.
Well, I think this person will wear jewelry with the best of them. Jason Holloway. And he is here, isn't he? Yes, I thought you were. You may give it to Jennifer, I suppose. And we have finally... We have another treasure chest from Yosemite Gate. And do we know who that bag was from, of jewelry? We'll have it. We'll mention it to you tomorrow. But now we have one more Yosemite Gateway treasure chest. Holly Heintz, are you in the room? No. John McCann's drawing, I think. John is so, he got so jazzed by the music, he can read the names of these tickets now by himself. Okay, Charles Navarrete. Are you in the room? Yeah, he's there. All right. Money and candy. And we're going to do lots of money tomorrow. So I want to thank everyone for coming. I want to thank Mary Lou and Brooks and Ronnie and all of the volunteers. And let's give another special round of applause for Ken Metz and his job of MC. And a big round of applause for Lori, Chuck, and Jim. Woo! And that shall do it for 2016. Thank you all very much, and we'll see you in the morning.